My aunt, Diana, was so beautiful. Flowy blonde hair, blue eyes. She loved to play tennis. It seemed like she was perpetually tan, even in Connecticut, which is a small miracle. She and her husband, Russell, seemed like an adoring couple, and they had two sons. One of the things that Russell and her sons loved to do, but Diana was kind of skeptical about, was skiing. But one winter, they convinced her to go skiing in Colorado, and she was trying to keep up, trying to just stay on her skis while they were zipping all around. And they came to a place where there was a little bit of a ski jump. There was a small gorge that you had to ski over and get to the other side. Well, when Diana saw that, she said, "Nope, I'm out. You guys have fun. I'll be waiting right here." Russell turned to her, put his hands on her face, and said, "Honey, look at me. Do you trust me? Don't you know how much I love you? You can do this." "We'll let the boys go first, and then I will go over that gorge, and I will turn around, and I will wait for you, and I want you to look right at me. Just look at me. You can do it." So the boys, of course, went first. Woohoo! Had a great time. Then Russell made it over, and he turned around, and he looked at Diana. And she said to me, "Kate, I looked at that man and I thought, I love that man, I trust that man, and I pushed off and I started to scream. But I went over the gorge and I made it. Yes!" And then he gave me a huge hug. In today's reading, we hear about a man who was not afraid to cross the gorge of death. His name was Stephen, and he was the first deacon in the church. He loved Jesus so much, and he knew he was going to be with Jesus, so he was not only not afraid of dying, he was not afraid of being fully alive. He wasn't afraid of failure. He wasn't afraid of being unpopular or being hated. So he went right out into the middle of the Jews and he said, "You guys are stiff-necked." In other words, you're stubborn. "You persecuted the prophets and you killed the righteous one." Well, that went over like a lead balloon, as you can imagine. The Jews immediately hated him. But before they did anything to him, and this is what's so important, before anything bad happened, Stephen saw Jesus. He had a vision. And he said to them, "Look, look, look." He said, "Look, there's Jesus." And they were so mad, I don't think they paid attention to him, or maybe they thought he was crazy. But they dragged him out of the city. I guess they didn't want to do this in front of the normal population. And when they got him out of the city, they started throwing rocks at him. They stoned him to death. And yet, instead of crying and cowering and weeping, he was so peaceful and so joyful. And he said, "Lord, take my spirit." And then he said, "Father, forgive them." He said the very same words that Jesus said on the cross, because he was already over the gorge. He had already seen the Lord. He had already made it. One of the most beautiful, hard, and wonderful parts of my job is that I get to be present with people who are dying. And I can tell you, after all these years, when someone loves God, their dying is very different from when someone who is caught up in regrets or angry or tangled up inside. When someone loves God, I can tell you a few things that have happened. One man waited until we were saying the prayers and passed peacefully away right in the middle of that. That's happened a lot. Another man who was in a coma for 2 years, this was in Kansas, he sat right up in bed and said to his wife, "Jean, I'm going, hooray!" And then he died. Another man, less than a year ago, Opa Sene, he was in the ICU and he was dying and he went, literally lifted up his hands and the beautiful smile, and then he died. But we're so afraid of crossing over that gorge. But the thing is, you and I, like Stephen, we are Easter people. It is still the season of Easter. We are still celebrating the resurrected life. But Americans are so afraid. We're not just afraid of dying, we're afraid of being fully alive. I was looking it up, and it says on Google, of course, the authority, that 31% of the American population now suffer from an anxiety disorder. 31%. That's a third of our population is chronically afraid. Now, one of the things we've done at this cathedral that I think is beautiful is we've started this Center for Well-Being. We're trying to help people get well mentally, physically, spiritually. We're offering free counseling. We're offering support groups. If you need it, just look at our website. And one of the founders of the Center for Well-Being is a woman named Paige Hakimian. She is a PhD and a counselor. She told me that in order for people to be mentally well, they need to think that within themselves, there are many different rooms or roles to play. Let me give you an example. I'm Kate. I'm the dean of this cathedral, but I'm also a mother. I'm also a wife. I'm also a potential champion kayak person. I'm also someone who loves sushi and watching movies. I'm also a writer. So if any of my selves fall apart, if no one will publish my books or my kids are all mad with me, I can go into another room. In other words, my identity is not dependent on any one thing. I am multifaceted, and this creates a level of comfort. It lowers our anxiety, and it helps our self-esteem. There was a nun who lived in the 14th century. Her name was Teresa of Avila, and she prayed so much and became so in love with Jesus. And she, at the end of her life, wrote a book that was called The Interior Castle. She said that our souls are like an enormous castle made of crystal and full of light. And in this castle, there are different rooms and different realms. She talks about 7 different massive spaces where we grow closer and closer to God. And Jesus, talking to his disciples in the gospel that we heard this morning, he says to his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." In other words, don't be scared. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, Christians get the word "believe in" mixed up. Jesus wasn't saying, "You need to know that I am the Son of God." He was saying, "Believe in me." If I say, "I believe in you, Jane, I believe in you, John, I believe in you, Neely," it means I put my trust in you. It's not an intellectual exercise. Jesus was saying, don't be afraid, trust me. And then he goes on to say, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. In the ancient language, it means many places for you to stay, many abodes, many homes, many realms. There is so much room in heaven. There's room for you to enjoy your sushi. There's room for you to play canasta. There's room for you to do whatever it is that brings you joy. There is so much room, and room for growth and development and change. I think one of the reasons we're so afraid of crossing over the gorge of death is we don't know what's on the other side. I don't know why it is, but Americans are so much better at imagining hell than we are at imagining heaven. We were watching the Pirates of the Caribbean. Chris couldn't believe I hadn't seen the movies. In the fifth one, they go into all this detail about Davy Jones's locker. It's like this weird hell where he's on a ship and he's everyone, he's all the sailors on the ship, and he's driving himself crazy. This is Jack Sparrow. Never mind all that. All that I'm saying is we do a good job of imagining hell. But when it comes to heaven, all we think about is people playing harps on top of clouds. Or sometimes we say, my Uncle Jack may be enjoying a golf game or something like that. But it sounds awfully boring to me, doesn't it? What Jesus is saying is that heaven is not boring. Heaven has so much space within it for you to be fully alive, to grow and change and develop, to move deeper and further in and up and inwards into God. God's house is vaster and more expansive than we could possibly imagine. And Jesus is saying, I'm going ahead of you. I'm going ahead of you. Look at me. Trust me. I love you. I'm waiting with my arms open for you to come and to take you to myself, into realms beyond your imagining. My Aunt Diana died early. She got a melanoma in her eye, and it went quickly. She took out her eye, but it had gone into her brain, and she was gone from us. But I always, when I picture her, I picture her hurtling down that mountain and over the gorge of death and into the arms of Jesus. I can almost see it. And I know that she would say to me, don't be afraid of dying. And most of all, don't be afraid of being fully alive. Be brave. Be courageous. Don't be afraid of running out of money. Don't be afraid of falling down, of losing your job, of making somebody mad. Live. Live because you will be living. Because eternity begins now and your life is a gift. Trust me, Jesus says. Just trust me. Amen.